the majority of our projects are, you know, as I said, on scope, on schedule, and on budget. So we're really happy with the progress to date in these first 3 years. Our slideshow, unfortunately, has a lot of pictures of our completed projects, but you can see that in your report. I don't want to go through all the details if we don't have pictures to support that. But I hope you'll find that we have a lot of wonderful improvements all over the city, providing services where things were lacking and have been lacking for quite a while.
I just want to interrupt for a second because I don't want to say this in my closing, but it's just really unfortunate that some people who want to yell and disrupt are preventing the public from seeing the good parts of governments, the things that we've gotten right, and the things that we've done for the Portland community. So thank you for continuing to present, and I just note that it's unfortunate that freedom of speech apparently is sometimes a one-way street.
Well, looking ahead, we have 10 bond projects that are scheduled for completion in the near future, and we're excited for this work. I do have this list on the slide. I want to read it to you just so you know what's coming to your neighborhood. Cooch Park Lou, Cooch Park Playground, Ed Benedict Park Restroom, Fernhill Park Water Supply, our Kenton Park Playground, Mount Tabor Park Handrails, North Park Blocks Playground, Raymond Park Loose, Selwood Park Kitchen Roof, and Peninsula Park Pool.
So with that, we're happy to present you with the long form of the annual report for the bond, which will be shared with the press and the neighborhood coalitions and will be available on the Parks website. The information presented here can be found in that report. It's also intended to be completely transparent and honest, not only about what went well for us, but what did not. The short version, which is the one I gave to you, is also available and will be distributed at events throughout the summer. It's available in English and also translated into Spanish. So we anticipate we'll be able to deliver the bond, the Phase 1 and Phase 2 bond projects as promised for the $68 million, and we're happy to take questions at this time. Thank you.
Very good. Further questions? And you will post on the website.
We will. We'll post the PowerPoint.
PowerPoint that we wanted to see today but could not see.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
So we have a motion.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Fish. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you for a great report, and thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your leadership in getting this bond measure approved by voters. And I really appreciate the very thorough approach you're taking to monitoring your administrative expenses, getting the audits done, and getting the work done, too, when we can find the contractors.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you very much for the report. It's good to see on paper and acknowledge to the community what's been going on with this bond measure. Just want to tell a quick story about the human impacts of these investments. On Sunday, I was at the Buckman Community Association picnic and in the Buckman neighborhood at Colonel Summers Park. And two of the projects that feature on this report, one of them is the Colonel Summers Loo, and the other is the splash pad there. And I was approached by a neighbor who said she lived right next door to the park, and do we design these things with public safety in mind? And I said, with some trepidation, yes, hoping that she wasn't going to say, well, like, you've done a terrible job. And in fact, what she said was, it's transformed the park. That it used to be a place where there was a lot of criminal activity going on, that there was a lot of drug use and other things happening, and the Monday fun day, which was kind of mayhem for the whole community every week. And because the loo replaced the restroom, which was very unsafe, because the splash pad has brought in families to the park, and it was designed in a way that the location was intended to make sure that there was positive activity on both sides of the splash pad. So it's not just a recreational facility, it's transformed the park. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the total investment was in those projects. I'm guessing it was less than $1 million, but we were spending a heck of a lot of money beforehand on crime prevention, on police response, on various other less positive activities. And now we have this wonderful park that really is bringing the neighborhood together, including people who live outside, who were very welcome at the picnic and who were participating in picking up trash and helping out. So it's, it made me feel really good that was one of the things I got to do in the last week. I thoroughly enjoyed being the Parks Commissioner. I thank Mayor Hales for allowing me to do it for 4 years, and Mayor Wheeler for the since he took over. And obviously my main goal has been to take care of our beloved parks and make sure that all Portlanders can enjoy them. So with this bond measure, we have 50 projects throughout the city. It includes 10 loos and restroom renovations, plus the Pioneer Courthouse Square gender-neutral restroom. I'm really proud of being the loo queen and the restroom queen. This has been the largest expansion of public restroom facilities in the history of Portland Parks and Recreation. We've also, as was mentioned, leveraged the system development charges for improvements to places like Peninsula Pool, which is not only renovated but now has accessibility improvements. Mm-hmm. Accessibility has been a theme throughout, as we promised in the bond measure. So we have recently announced an inclusive play area for people of all abilities at Gabriel Park in Southwest. As was mentioned, we're opening Cooch Park, which is also going to be and has been developed in collaboration with Harper's Playground. So with the opening of Gateway Discovery Park on Saturday, that means that four of the five quadrants of Portland now will have very shortly accessible, fully inclusive playgrounds, with just Southeast waiting its turn patiently. So I'm very grateful and happy about that. Thank you to all the staff at Portland Parks and Recreation, including the amazing women who are here in this room, Lauren McGuire, Robin Laughlin, Maya Spencer. Sorry. Kia Selly has been doing an amazing job as interim director. Mike Abate was very much a part of this whole program. Marianne Cassin, you know, the list goes on and on and on. Thanks to all the community engagement staff, the equity teams, and then Commissioner Nick Fish, who took the bond measure over the finishing line in 2014 and has been a staunch supporter of parks for as long as I've known you, and I'm really proud to work with you. Christina Nieves and Pooja Bhatt and my staff, formerly Patty Howard and Tom Bizot, and of course my Chief of Staff, Tim Crail. It's really been an honour, and I wish I could thank everybody by name. Hi.
Fish.
Well, Dan and Amanda, I think, have said it all. I would just say that this is a model report, and you set the standard and the bar very high. Congratulations. And I look forward to providing strong leadership with my colleagues as you continue your excellent work. So thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Wheeler.
Well, I want to reiterate my thanks to Commissioner Fritz. Her passion and her enthusiasm on this is obvious, and it's contagious, and it is exhibited tangibly through the work that's been done at these parks. And I do hope that people have the opportunity to take a look at the what you described as the long form of the report, which honestly sounds terrible. It's terrible marketing on your part. And, I want to stick to your overall objective. Healthy parks make a healthy Portland. And I could not agree more. And I thank you, Commissioner, for your outstanding stewardship. I thank the Parks Bureau team and everybody in the community who worked hard and advocated for and helped shape this vision and ultimately supported it with their own tax dollars. Mm-hmm. This, to me, is a prime example of what is fantastic about our city and what makes it unique and what makes it work. So thank you. I look forward to next year's report equally. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up will be 837, Commissioner Fish.
Authorize a joint funding agreement with U.S. Geological Survey in the amount of $1,623,235 for stream flow and water quality monitoring.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, for more than 40 years, the city has had an ongoing cooperative agreements with the U.S. Geological Survey to collect stream flow and water quality data in the Bull Run watershed. Today's agreement will continue that successful partnership. It's my pleasure to introduce Edward Eddie Campbell, Resource Protection Group Manager from the Portland Water Bureau, to give us a brief overview. Eddie?
Great. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Again, my name is Edward Campbell, Resource Protection and Planning Director for the Water Bureau. As Commissioner Fish has indicated, the item before you today is the renewal of an intergovernmental agreement with the United States Geological Survey to maintain and operate water monitoring stations in and around the Bull Run water source. These 13 water monitoring stations provide critical real-time data regarding tributary flows, the reservoir levels, and water quality. That's essential to both our operations And then also with our ability to comply with the requirements of the Safe Drinking Water Act, the Clean Water Act, the Endangered Species Act, and the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. This agreement provides the city with the option of adding one additional monitoring site if we deem it necessary, and that would be below our intake to help us manage our flows on the lower Bull Run River. So that is an option that's built into this updated agreement. The city's partnership, as Commissioner Fish indicated, with USGS goes back 45 years and has resulted in an uninterrupted data set, which is critical for us in terms of monitoring trends and doing planning for the future. The five-year total cost to operate and maintain this network is $1,623,235, of which the Water Bureau share is $1,026,020. Funding has been included in the current fiscal year budget, and in our out years, it's included in our financial forecast. So this is not something that will change or affect our projected rates. With that, I'm available to answer any questions about the item.
Colleagues? Carla, did anyone sign up to testify?
Yes, we have three people signed up. We'll get someone to bring them in.
Okay.
Can we recess, Carla, until they come in?
Yes, we can.
Otherwise, I'm just sitting here awkwardly on camera.
You might turn your mics off until the team goes off.
Now you tell me. We're working out the kinks, folks. We're working out the kinks. What about my job as a doctor? Come on. It really is weird. Yeah, not my daughter, by the way. She asks a lot of questions. How is Charles?
Looks like they're out there ready to go.
Are we ready?
Yeah. We've got... We have Charles Bridge Crane and Shedrick J. Wilkins.
Very good.
Coming in.
Charles. Here he is.
Thanks, Shedrick. You ready, Shedrick? Let Shedrick testify first if you can.
Very good.
Charles, why don't you and Shedrick both take
sit beside each other like something's normal?
Exactly. Good morning.
Okay. I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and I commend the re-election of Commissioner Fish as the Water Bureau Chief. In January and in June after the election, I went to a pub meeting in this building, especially June, and asked them, do you have any problem or has there been any complaints of us dipping into the Columbia River wells of the 20? And the answer, and I talked at the testimony, no. So if in the future, the city of Portland continues to dip into the wells from time to time to get water, I don't hear any complaints about it. So I support Commissioner Fish. This is a very difficult situation because there's a no-win situation because there are people who actually think they're getting poison from the Bull Run water system, and there's people who think they're getting radon from the Columbia River. There's no win, but it was like a year and a half later, and I'm not hearing any comments from PUB. In fact, the only comment they wanted is they want a survey about whether Commissioner Fish is going to spend too much money on the filtration system. They put it on their website. So I got this, you can't win here in this whole thing. And I think the city of Portland will continue to dip into the Columbia River wells. And if these are professional people too. These are not people that just come in. These are professional people. I talked to the woman's assistant director of the Water Bureau. I think she's under your employment, and she said, we didn't get any complaints. I mean, major complaints. I'm talking about health complaints about the month that we, in February of 2017. So that's all I'm saying, and I commend his reelection and how he handles the Water Bureau. After, it's been the year of the water for me, because I never went to pub meetings before. Okay, and I'm not hearing any kind of problem with radon in the Columbia wells as being a significant problem, and it is kind of a no-win situation.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Charles Bridgegreen, and I'm glad I'm able to be here to testify, even though we've had to have two of our friends and neighbors removed under police arrest just a few moments ago. I don't know, normally this is not a dialogue area, but Commissioner Fish is often very helpful as things get discussed. So when we look at this $1.6 million agreement with the USGS and becoming more informed and perhaps better protecting our Bull Run watershed, it seems to me hard to determine if the federal contribution or the city contribution, in Exhibit A, 2C, there's a tiny, I guess the amounts are broken out, although I don't, half a million, we get to use the glorious language of party of the first part. I don't know if Commissioner Fish could maybe indulge us if it's clear to him on the top of the head which parties are which, and if we're getting a net benefit. As we know, when we've looked at other issues that are crucial to this city, really our quality of life or our quality of government services significantly impacted by our ability to keep proper federal funds and maximum federal fundings for good programs flowing into the city. The water matters, so I generally don't have any problem with city funds, if they're already in the water budget or the general budget, being expended for water quality, but it looks a little legalese-ish.
In the ordinance itself, it makes clear
that over the five-year term, the Water Bureau will contribute $1,026,000, and the U.S. Geological Survey will contribute $551,000, and the federal stream gauge network will provide another $46,000. So that's how it's broken out over the 5 years. We are required to do this pursuant to some permits and other. This is a long-term relationship, and our cost is about two-thirds of the cost of this monitoring.
All right, thank you very much. And I hope that I guess this is natural stream. We probably have some small biologicals there, so we don't want to do any micro generation like some of these great new devices you see in Amazon. We can charge your phone by putting a little turbine in the water, but I appreciate the work of the Water Bureau in places where they've done in-pipe turbining, and hope that there'll someday be a public status report on that. While we're grateful with the Water Bureau, I think all of us should be grateful to the makers of Protect Skate helmets, which may have saved the city from having a little bit of a Kent State moment, and let's hope that our citizens and our police department can get on a better page. Thank you.
Thank you, both of you, for your testimony. Any further discussion? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Next item, 838.
Mayor, can we have 838 and 839 read together?
Absolutely. Could you
please? Excuse me, and 840?
838, 839, and 840, please, Carla.
Okay. 838, authorize the Water Bureau to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for construction of the Pennridge Mains Replacement Project through negotiation or through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority. 839, authorize the Water Bureau to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for construction of the North Janssen Avenue Main Insulation Project through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority. And 840, authorize the Water Bureau to acquire certain permanent and temporary property rights necessary for the Conduit 2 Trestle Rehabilitation Project through negotiation or through the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Fish.
Mayor and colleagues, the Portland Water Bureau has three upcoming projects to improve water services, including enhanced services during natural disasters and fires. For these projects to meet the proper engineering and safety standards, the Portland Water Bureau will need to acquire permanent and temporary easements through negotiation. Today to present are Teresa Elliott, Chief Engineer, and Ben Gossett, Right-of-Way Manager from the Portland Water Bureau. Welcome.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler and Commissioners. As Commissioner Fish indicated, you have three similar ordinances before you: the Penn Ridge Replacement Project, the North Janssen Beach, North Janssen Avenue Main Replacement Project, and the Gresham Trestle Rehabilitation Project. The three ordinances grant Portland Water Bureau the authority to negotiate and acquire easements, and including using the city's eminent domain authority, which is covered under the City Charter Chapter 9-108 as the last resort. And by the way, I'm Therese Elliott, Chief Engineer, and this is Ben Gossett as well, and he is the right-of-way manager for the Water Bureau. The projects have been designed to achieve the highest, the greatest public benefit while minimizing inconveniences to adjacent property owners. Water Bureau will conduct all acquisition activities in accordance with Oregon Revised Statutes Chapter 35, Eminent Domain and Public Acquisition of Property, including with the respect to notice, value, offer, and if necessary, relocation and eminent domain. All affected property owners have been provided general project information for the three and invited to today's council meeting. I have given you four slides. They're what I provided Carla for the PowerPoint this morning, and it's of the four different sites that are included in these three ordinances. Item 838 is the Penn Ridge Project, and it is located in the West Hills in an area that was annexed in 1986 from the Sylvan Water District. The Penn Ridge area was identified in two different master plans as being undersized and inadequately covering current fire flow protections. The Penn Ridge Project is designed and will improve the fire flow capacity, system pressures, and improve system reliability in the service area. The Penn Ridge Project will take place in a privately owned road, and the Water Bureau will be seeking three permanent easements and two temporary easements. Item 839, the second page, is the North Janssen Avenue Main Replacement Project. It's located on Hayden Island. The Hayden Island service area was annexed from the Janssen Beach Water Company in 1988. The existing North Janssen Avenue main segment is predominantly concrete and asbestos transite pipe that was installed by the Janssen Beach Water Company. The existing pipes are in poor condition with a history of leaks, and many of the services are not meeting current standards and need to be brought up to standard. The Janssen Beach project will replace about 2,000 feet of pipes, improve fire protection, and bring the service up to current standards. And this will help us improve our safety working around the pipes, as well as improving the Bureau's system reliability. The Janssen Beach project is located primarily in existing easements in Janssen Avenue, and which is a service route for the houseboat owners and a storage complex. The Bureau will be seeking a temporary construction easement for use of the road and three permanent easements. Item 840, which is the last two pages, consists of two different locations, the Bear Creek Trestle and the El Camino Trestle. Both of them are located within the city limits of Gresham. The trestle projects have three permanent easements and two construction easements that we will be seeking. The conduit trestles will replace existing trestles to reduce our risk during damages from seismic and flooding events. The Beaver Creek trestle is the Bureau's largest trestle. It's over 120 feet in length. It has limited access in a wooded area with a wide floodplain. The El Camino is in a residential area in a subdivision, and to date, we've talked to all of the property owners that are affected by these easements, and we believe that most will be willing for us to negotiate. Any questions?
Commissioner Fritz.
I'm interested, thank you for the presentation, sure. It's very clear. Interested in the ones in Gresham. I'm kind of surprised that the City of Portland gets to do eminent domain over somebody else's area. So can you tell me about that?
Certainly. We have easements that run through Gresham that date back from the late 1800s. I have worked with the city attorney's office and confirmed that, in fact, for this public purpose, we do have the right of eminent domain to acquire these easements.
And we've been in contact with those property owners?
We have.
And I see note that there was one property owner who's concerned. Are they able to be here, or have they been able to resolve your concerns?
I don't believe that they are here today. My office has been in touch with those owners, and my understanding as of this morning is that they don't have any concerns.
Okay. I hope that's the case, because it certainly was not a very hospitable environment as being City Council chambers.
And so agreed.
I'm sure you'll be working with them to make sure that
absolutely
that's addressed. Thank you.
Very good.
I have just a question, Teresa. Once we give you this authority, what's the timeline for attempting to negotiate a willing buyer, willing seller relationship on an easement before you would ever use the hammer of eminent domain?
Commissioner, I'm going to let Ben answer that, since he will be the person doing the negotiation.
Commissioner, ORS 35 requires a minimum period of 40 days to negotiate. We have built into our schedule about twice that. In addition to that, there's a period during which these easements will all be appraised. An offer will be made based on those appraisals. The ORA standard is a minimum of 40 days to negotiate from the date of the offer. And then again, we have time in our schedule above and beyond that.
Thank you. Very good. Public testimony, Carla?
Yes, we have two people signed up, Shedrick Wilkins and Jan Schwartz.
Very good. Come on up.
Can I look at the mayor when I say this? I just said that there's nothing wrong with our water after talking to Pub. And I think one time you said that you trust Commissioner Fish in the water issues. I also said it was kind of a no-win situation about drinking Columbia River water versus Willamette River water. Recently, you are also being involved with a lot of no-win situations. Okay, and I commend you. I do not advocate that you resign. I don't know if you want the stress of being reelected, but certainly don't resign. And I feel that you have said the right thing. And after looking at the water, dipping into the Columbia, there was no problem with that. And you said one time you support Commissioner Fish running the Water Bureau. I commend that, and that your purpose is here to provide people who aren't satisfied with public input. And you're doing that, and I wish to say you're a good mayor for that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. That means a lot. Thank you. Good morning.
Hi. I'm Jan Schwartz, currently the president of the Jansen Beach Mortgage. We're representing 177 homes there. And on 839, you're going to be putting in about 2,000 feet of water line directly through the middle of our property. I'm looking forward to this and having to work closely with all you folks on this. I am interested in trying to find out if the water line will be earthquake resistance, because we are built on a fill that's all sand dredged in from the river to build it up. And I don't know if you have these answers now, but I could at least point me in the right direction for that.
We have two Water Bureau staff people here today who can talk to you after your testimony.
Okay.
Thank you for taking the time to come in.
Other than that, we look forward to getting this done, because it's been postponed for many years.
Yes, sir. Thank you for coming in. Great shirt.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So 837 is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. 838 is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It also moves to second reading.
We're 838.
I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Retract that. 838 is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. 839 is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. 840 is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It also moves to second reading. So back to the consent agenda. We had two items pulled, item 823.
Authorize cooperative agreement with Portland General Electric and Portland State University to develop the Prep Hub pilot project to prepare for an emergency or natural disaster in an amount not to exceed $90,000.
2 minutes for public testimony, please. Who pulled this?
This was pulled by Edith Gillis.
Very good. Is she here?
I believe she is down in the Lovejoy. She's
very good. Take a recess till she gets here.
The recognition of Amanda Fitz in the parks. I enthusiastically support prep hubs and improvements on them, as well as many more solar-powered loos and some warm showers and large lockers, including emergency prep supplies and two-bucket compost and sterile urine collection and rainwater purple water collection and filtration systems distributed equally per the population throughout all neighborhoods. Pocket parks, community food gardens, food growing, parking strips, open spaces for internal refugee camps for use between the major earthquakes, fires, toxic explosives, floods, and pandemics. Parks well run are one of the best ways to ensure public safety. Not only are we developing community and directing people to have a sense of empowerment and decision making and skill building, we're also